And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like saving the world one soundbite at a time. I got a bunch of texts already. Yeah, the text lines are indeed open, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it in or call it in, same number for both. Let me grab a few of those. Oh, man, people are, I mean, like, I got to scroll back down to find the bottom of the string. But Beth from Huntsville says, has anybody ever noticed these protests hardly ever occur in the winter? Bunch of fair weather protesters. You know, that's a great point. Although it's going to get hot pretty soon, and we'll see how that feels. James from Blount County says, what's the name of the church? And I don't know what you're asking me, James. Okay. He's asked, James, I think you meant to send that to somebody else. Jeff from Holly Pond says, it's better to die praying on your knees than die on your feet running from the Lord. Different story, Jeff. That's not what I'm talking about. I did not intend to imply you don't pray. You can pray on your knees, absolutely. But sometimes prayer has to also be accompanied with the action that God has equipped you for. So my point is, don't surrender. There you go. Allie from Athens says, so weird you had mentioned the windows that need to be cleaned. Yesterday I had the same thought. She said, actually came to me along the same way. There were a whole lot of things about which I couldn't do one thing, but I could clean my windows and maybe even to make it an act of worship. There you go. There you go. Thank you, Allie. Camera from Decatur says, pulled up next to a guy here at Arby's and we were both listening to you on the radio at the same time with our windows down. It was like hearing you in stereo. Awesome.
That is pretty cool.
Awesome. I'm loving it. Thank you very much, Cameron. Appreciate you. And thanks for sharing that too, by the way. Bud from, you know, by the way, I got to say this. So when I started all this, I mean, Big Rig, you weren't with me then. When I started all this and it was just, you know, I'd sit with a microphone downstairs at my desk. I'm like 3 months into it and I'm thinking, is this even working? I mean, I didn't have a text line.
Humble beginnings.
I didn't have a text line. I didn't have the ability for much in the way of call-in. I had a producer sitting up in Huntsville who just did things for me. Anyway, I finally called the guy who runs the station. I said, man, I'm just sitting here talking to Mike every day. Is anybody listening to this stuff? And he goes, have you not seen the ratings? And I was like, wow. So anyway.
That was when you found out about the ratings.
Yeah. My first response was, you have ratings? but anyway, yeah, that's cool. Bud, thank you for that. I mean, Cameron, thank you for that. Bud from Danville, you could just get an ice cream cone and go on vacation like our leader in the White House does. It must work. He never seems stressed.
He's been on vacation a long time.
I think he's still mentally on vacation like right now. Jeremy from Huntsville says, great monologue. Very encouraging. Thank you, Jeremy. Blessings on you. TL from Huntsville says, great monologue, Phil. C.S. Lewis said, quote, isn't it funny how day by day nothing changes, but when you look back, everything's different. Yeah. Said, don't underestimate the importance of doing small things. Just keep doing the right thing. That's awesome.
I love C.S. Lewis.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And then J.T. Lacey Springs says, small tasks often contain the solution to larger problems. Yes, they do. Yeah, all right. Text it or call it, 833-687-4448. Got a great lineup for you. So we're going to come back here in a minute with Dipper number one, State of Unions. Y'all, a story broke, I think it was last night. I had not seen this before. Did you hear that the UAB football team is basically unionizing? Now let that sink in. The University of Alabama, Birmingham, the Blazers, the UAB football team, they're actually considered a D1 team now. A D1 team is unionizing. We're talking about 18 to 21-year-old players, college students, unionizing. What in God's name is going on? We'll break all that down for you in a minute. I see it as troublesome. And when I read you some of the rhetoric out of the guy who's helping to do the organization, yeah, you'll know. You'll know because it sounds just like the United Auto Workers. Sticking it to the man. They're out there getting rich off of us. Greed. Corporate greed. It's just, you know, I'm sorry. Who gave you the scholarship? Who gave you a college education? Who gave you a dorm and a chow hall to eat in? I mean, for the love of God. But, you know, hey, they're being taken advantage of. Yeah. How did Bo Jackson make it? I don't understand. Well, we'll talk about all that. Number one, Triple Dipper, State of Unions. Yeah, it's kind of nuts. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the northern half of the most beautiful state in the nation. This one right here. Y'all are talking about Alabama. Y'all, I don't mean to say this show goes like way down south of Birmingham, up north of Huntsville, Tuscaloosa, back to Gadsden, parts of Georgia, Tennessee, and even Mississippi. All thrown in just for good measure. Couple more texts real quick. Keith from Parts Unknown says, I know you're an Auburn fan. However, Bear Bryant, this day of my life speech is also very inspirational. You know what? Yes, and I do not mind hearing that. I may be an Auburn fan, but I have great respect for the fact that Bear Bryant was a great coach. He has another quote that I love, too. He said, In every game, there's one play that if you grab hold of it, can swing the entire momentum. And I've used that in life to look for those momentum plays, I call them, swing plays.
You know, that costed you a few points.
I probably did. That's okay. I'll be down to a B- or something. Who knows? Just awful. Chris from Gadsden said, on the UAB football team union, my wife asked that as to that makes them employees and do they get tenure after 3 years. Okay, excellent point, Chris from Gadsden. So jumping right into my topic, here's the deal. No, they're not employees yet. That's the question. Will they become employees? Because at Dartmouth College, that's exactly what's happening. Here's the deal. In case you had not heard, 1819 News has a story that came out last night. Every member, it says, of the UAB football team recently elected to join the athletes.org, which is the College Football Athletic Players Association. One of several companies trying to organize athletes for possible revenue sharing discussions. It says the decision makes UAB football the first Division I team to publicly join the Players Association. Come on. Here's one of the things that bugs me about this, too. It was their coach encouraging them to do this. Like, what was he thinking? Now, he's going to have his opinions, and granted, this is his vocation. I get it. He does this daily for a living. But I cannot imagine how he can look at this as being a great idea. But apparently he does. UAB football coach Trent Dilfer gathered his team together for a voluntary meeting back in mid-April, it says, to encourage them to prepare for a future when college athletes might be able to negotiate for a larger share of their sports revenue. He said, they're going to have a seat at the table, Dilfer said. He told ESPN this in an interview. He said, I wanted to make sure I helped pour gasoline on something that's going to happen no matter what. I might as well use my influence to help it happen faster on behalf of our players. So basically what he just said was, yeah, these kids are, pretty soon they're going to be like bum rushing us and going on strike, and they're not going to play on Saturday unless we give them more money. That's what's going to happen. We want better dorms or we're not going to play. I will not show up for my practices unless I know for a fact that we can be done by 5 p.m. I mean, where's this going to stop? Whatever happened to riding for the brand? Right now, there's none of that. NIL and things like this are changing the face of football completely. They've gone away from the idea of playing for the brand, and now they're playing for themselves. So I began doing some looking on this. Like, I'm thinking, just like Chris from Gadsden a minute ago, how can this work? Because I thought in order to unionize, they had to first become employees, which would be a whole other ball of wax, because then you got employee benefits. And then what do they not get? Do they get tenure, like just said a minute ago? Do they get the ability to have retirement plans? Do they get, who knows? Where does it stop? Is there a 40-hour work week? I mean, where does it stop? So there's an article that I pulled. It came out in July of last year. I pulled this off of an organization called on3.com. Talks about a guy named Jason Stahl, S-T-A-H-L, Jason Stahl. He's the executive director of the College Football Players Association. This association, by the way, is working hard to become the union of choice for college football players. They've had a 3-year phase plan. I mean, they're well organized. They're doing the thing. Phase one was going around making all the rounds to all the college football programs and laying out the groundwork for them on why this is so important. Need to unionize your football team. I mean, when does it stop? Little League? Wait, you're going to have Pop Warner leagues going to be unionized? We refuse to play unless we get better snacks after the game. It's It's about to be an issue, y'all. But yeah, so phase one was making the rounds. Phase two is basically beginning to work with key programs. Phase three is to begin signing groups up to become participating teams. It says, while the likes of Washington State Athletic Director Pat Chun have discussed the need for guardrails on NIL, that the name, identity, and likeness, you know, where kids get paid for their image, and I understand what they're saying. It's their image. They want to be paid for the use of their image. I get that. Go ask some of the other athletes how much they got paid back in the day when they were playing in college. You're getting a scholarship. You're getting a special dorm with special food. You're getting the notoriety of being a college football player. Somewhere in there, that has always meant something. Apparently, it doesn't mean something anymore. But as Washington State Athletic Director Pat Chun discussed the need for guardrails, this guy Stahl, Jason Stahl, he argued basically the opposite. He said there's no issue here. Oh, really? Here's what he said. You ready for this? He said, what's the heart of the problem? The paternalism of the administrative class in college sports, right? They're just like, we're going to decide everything for you, and you're just going to sit over there in the corner and wait for our decision. Well, that has to end, says Stahl. We got to move to a future where the athletes are engaged through their associations for the adults that they are. But they're not adults. A lot of these kids are 18 years old. The age of majority is 19. You don't send a kid to basic training and expect that they're going to walk in and not have a drill sergeant tell them what to do. You don't have a kid who's 21. I mean, literally, some of these kids can't even vote yet. They certainly can't buy a beer yet. But you're telling us that you think the best thing in the world for them to be able to do is go on strike because they didn't get as much money as the other team down the road. Where does it end? And what they're doing, by his comments, what he's doing, this is the age-old situation here. He is pitting the kids against their schools. Listen to his words. The paternalism of the administrative class in college sports. Just going to make you sit over there while we make decisions about your life. Well, most people not of the age of majority or barely of the age of majority actually have other people that do make decisions. It's called life. I got a real beef with this, and I'm sure if I sat through a presentation, I might hear something that would help me soften some of the edges on how I feel about it. But listen, when I hear a guy, an adult, talk about organizing young men like this, and by doing so, his mantra is to tell them why they're being abused by the organization that gave them a scholarship and allowed them to be a part of the program. Pitting people against each other is not what I would call true leadership. He says the primary mission of the College Football Players Association is to be the organization for college football that the National Football League Players Association is for the NFL, including, you ready for this, housing any sort of eventual union of college football players. Right now, they're just calling themselves an association. Oh, you mean like the teachers union, the AEA, the Alabama Education Association? Yeah, they don't try to wield their influence at all. It's just an association. Don't worry. College football will still be awesome. And what's going to happen when everybody pays money for their season tickets? And come time for the big game, you find out that five players decided to hold out because they didn't like their contract. Contract, but they're college players. Yeah, but that's what, you know, when you're a union, you hold out for your contract, right? But I paid money for my ticket. Hey, university, I want my money back for my ticket. Then the university has to go, well, now, wait a minute. We can't give the money back because you've already bought it. And then the kid's going, I don't care. I just want what's mine. You see where this is going? Recently, the College Football Players Association and Stahl, Jason Stahl again, made one of the biggest splashes to date when they called for a player boycott of the upcoming EA Sports NCAA football game. It's unclear how it would come to a head. So I remember this. It was last year. EA Sports has their NCAA football, and they use the likenesses, and they decided that these kids weren't being paid enough for their likenesses. When I was a kid, the idea that someone would put my picture in a video game at all would have meant something, and I'm not trying to take away from these kids maybe getting reimbursed more, but here's what you had. The association helped the players organize a boycott. Oh, really? Yeah, we're not going to stop them from playing. No, you're just teaching them how to boycott. He says, we're going to educate the players because at least we want to give them informed consent. And yeah, basically he says, okay, the players should boycott the game. That's the game, the EA Sports game. We used the word boycott and got people up in arms, so it's good, I think, because we got some blowback and that was necessary. In other words, we were rabble-rousers, but that's what it took to get something done, by golly. The players are the game, Stahl reiterated, and to that end, Stahl said he isn't making mainly arguments about labor solidarity or improving working conditions. It's all about the money. I'm reading direct from the article. All about the money. Listen, I'll finish this article up by pointing out, it says this. There's a guy named Mitt Winter quoted in here. He's a sports attorney. He says he can't predict when the tides are going to fully shift. It's going to be a little while, he says, but he said, obviously, to have a real union, they have to be employees. So that's the first step. And then he says, you know, I think it's going to happen, though, definitely at some point. The question is when. And then he says, is the National Labor Relations Board then going to be getting involved? So it's hard to say what's going to happen, but I don't know, maybe a couple of years. A couple of years. So in a couple of years, we could be looking at college football players have to become actual employees of the school. Well, then I want to know, too, can they get in the portal and leave? Because if they just went through contract negotiation, that contract's going to spell out the terms of their employment. And I guarantee you, if the school's saying, fine, we'll make sure you get more money, but you are not getting into a portal. You're going to, by God, play here. And then you're going to have an 18-year-old who's going to have a tantrum. By the way, up in Michigan, the Michigan legislature last year dropped a bill. A Democrat dropped it in. It would allow public school athletes in Michigan to unionize. Yeah. Yeah. I don't like where this is going at all. Not at all, y'all. I do not like it at all. And there's a lot going on around the nation. I got a story here that I'll get to after the break. But up in Dartmouth, at Dartmouth College, apparently the law in that area now says that the students there are allowed now to organize their own labor union. That's what it says. I'm reading you from the AP with a quote from Tommy Tuberville that I'll read you after we get back from the break. Y'all, I find this to be a little nutty. I think the world's turning on its head right now. And when you can't even enjoy college football on a Saturday because the kids are unionizing and you're starting to wonder if they're going to boycott a game because they didn't get paid enough, it's not even fun anymore at that point. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. I mean, like, wow, making common sense like a superpower. Don't forget, coming up here, top of the hour, we'll have our buddy Scott Buttram on the air talking to us about his thoughts on this unionization of football players. So I found an article on the AP. It came out right at about 45 days ago, mid-March. So this article talked about the lead up to the story we had yesterday. And there was a poll that was done, allegedly. I say allegedly. I doubt if they're lying about it. But the bottom line is the Associated Press and the Center for Public Affairs Research collaborated on a poll and found that 55% of adults believe that NCAA athletes should not be permitted to form unions. Okay. It says across party lines, 56% of Democrats, only about half of independents, and 23% of Republicans support the idea of unionization. So when you break it down by party lines, Republicans are like, no, like, stop that. What are you talking about? Well, they did an interview with Tommy Tuberville, which makes great sense because how many years did he spend as a coach? So Coach Tuberville, a former major football coach and a harsh critic of unions in general, said that athletes unionizing, here's his words, would absolutely kill college sports. It's his quote. Here's ready. He says, you know, the last time I looked, they're not employees. These students are student athletes. And if you want the federal government involved when you want them to ruin something, then you try to make the student athletes employees. Yeah, he's not wrong. By the way, Tuberville and Joe Manchin have both sponsored a bill trying to kind of reel in the lack of NIL guidelines, no parameters at all. The bill can't get any traction. There's too much money involved. That's why. But it says right here in this article, too, from the AP, that of the 1,100 NCAA member schools, most could not afford to treat their athletes as employees and it would wind up sponsoring fewer teams. Let me tell you what happens, by the way. A lot of folks don't think about this kind of thing when they're out there. You make them employees so they can unionize. Well, here's an idea. When you make somebody an employee and you change their scholarship to a payment for services rendered, that became taxable income. A scholarship is not generally taxable. So suddenly, these kids are like, wait, hold on. I got to pay the government how much? It's going to be a wake-up call. Well, that means you got to pay me more. You got to pay more because, I need to take care of it. And then next thing you know, you're going to have college kids meeting with their CPA to figure out how to shelter their NIL money. And then, oh, by the way, guess what? The colleges then have to pay payroll tax because there are any number of things that the employee doesn't pay that the employer does. I know that most taxes coming out of a paycheck, people look at that as being the employee paid it. But there are certain aspects of what goes into a payroll that come direct from the employer. I mean, where does this stop, y'all? It says last month, by the way, this came out in March. Last month, a regional director of the National Labor Relations Board ruled that Dartmouth men's basketball players did qualify for employee status, paving the way for the team members to vote if they want to unionize. I'm just saying. Senator Chris Murphy, a Democrat from Connecticut, he said, now it's time for the colleges to stop wasting their time and money fighting athletes in court and lobbying Congress to roll back athletes' rights and instead start negotiating with athletes on revenue sharing, health, and safety protections. So these kids that are there, and they come in to, I don't know, pick one, University of Alabama. How long has the University of Alabama been a campus? Well, they're coming into a much-vaunted, long-standing institution that people come in from all over and pay for the privilege of going to, as opposed to being paid to go there. But they want to be paid as employees? That would not work out well. Everything changes. Everything changes as they unionize. I didn't even get into my stack that I've got right here in front of me about what's going on with the potential unionization at Mercedes and the union. But I questioned this. How did UAB get on this tab? Because their coach took them down that road. Their coach, Trent Dilfer, literally said, I intend to pour gasoline on this fire. His words, not mine. Hey, I got a text right here. Where'd it go? There was one. There was a great one. I saw it. Here it is. Ronnie from Danville says, Phil, I talked to John Hanna. Wow. I love John Hanna. I had a chance to meet with John Hanna personally. What a great guy. So I talked to John Hanna one time. My cousin that was old at the time, he told John I'd like to have a job where I just work 2 hours on Sundays. John told him they started at 5 a.m. and it was 9 p.m. a lot of times before they got done. There you go. That's right. I heard somebody say one time that they were out at the driving range watching Tiger Woods and he, you know, teed off on something. And the response was, man, I wish I could drive like that. And Tiger Woods, probably being a little bit arrogant, but he turned around and said, no, you don't. Otherwise, you'd be out here hitting five buckets of ball before breakfast every day like me. Okay, I get it. These athletes, they put a lot of time in, and they should. But if we're going to let kids unionize, and then tell the colleges that we pay for with our tax dollars that they want more money or they're not going to play on a Saturday. I mean, do you see this as a good thing? Text it in. Tell me what you think. Coming up next, we'll see what Scott Buttram thinks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, sometimes the international. And oh, yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Well, welcome to hour number two on this Taco Tuesday. And we're going to go right to the phones right now. Somebody who I've gotten to appreciate quite a lot lately is just kind of always there with commentary that makes a difference. But Scott Buttram is the publisher at the Trustful Tribune, and he has been a guest host here on Right Side, and he's on the phone right now. Scotticus, how you doing?
I'm doing well, my brother. How are you?
I'm good enough, man. How about that?
That's all we can ask for some days, Phil. I'm telling you. We should probably be grateful for that.
Yeah, no doubt. Hey, listen, man, I just spent a little time there kind of unloading on my audience about my thoughts about this potential unionization of UAB's football team and just like college players in general. But you were telling me during the break that even another story broke just like maybe this afternoon. What do you know? Yeah.
about 2 hours ago, we'll back up a bit, and I'll kind of refresh the audience with what you just talked to them about. UAB football in Birmingham, University of Alabama at Birmingham, for clarity's sake, it is part of the University of Alabama system, became the first FBS team as an entire team to join athletics.org, which is a up-and-coming and working in they're working on the process of becoming a players union. They are the first FBS team in the United States to join this future players union as a team. They do it, ironically, at a time that Governor Kay Ivey and Republican leaders in the state are vehemently fighting against union organization of the auto plants. As you know, you've covered that, I've covered it, we've all talked about it. So, and evidently, Coach Dilfer, Trent Dilfer, took it upon himself. He met with athletic.org, he was impressed, and took it upon himself to arrange this voluntary meeting with the entire team, at which time the entire team joined this group. I can't help but wonder, you've taken a step as a head coach to turn your players ultimately into employees. If that happened in my organization without my involvement, that person would not be sitting at a desk in this office the next day.
No, and I can't help but think, when are they going to say something? Yeah, because it was what, Scott, just like what, 6-7 years ago when UAB almost lost its football team completely and the state kind of ran to their aid and got them all back in line. And now look at this.
They did lose it. They shut it down.
Yeah.
And they had to rebirth it after blowback from the local community. People like John Archibald and Kyle Whitmire were very upset about that. And I understand because, Whitmire probably spends in college football. I'm sure he's there at the UAB games every week. I'm kidding. I doubt if he's ever seen one in person since high school. But, you know, there was a lot of blowback. That brings up another point, Bill. At that point, we found out that UAB was supplementing the athletic department out of the general student fund.
Yeah.
They were supplementing the athletic department to the team to the tune of $20 million a year. That was either seventh or eighth highest in all of FBS. 300 colleges, they were supplementing it with regular student money, to the tune of $20 million a year. Now, Archibald did report that after I shared that information, and the next day he ran a story saying at least six programs out there are spending or supplementing their program by more than UAB is, not mentioning that 297 work. But so we know that it's never been a financially strong program. It does provide a lot for the community. There's some decent support. I think they average somewhere between about 14,000 to 16,000 on any given Saturday, which is a little bit bigger than a Hoover game, or a high school game. Yeah. So, you know, it's just mind-boggling. The chairman of your board at the university is Governor Kay Ivey.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Who is fighting against unions at this moment? Does the president know? Does the chancellor know? Do the board members know? Did the chairman of the governor, or chairman of the board, Governor Ivey of the Board of Education, did she know that while they're out there fighting unionization, a state school went and unionized the football team?
And then on top of that, how are the taxpayers of this state going to feel knowing that they are now subsidizing what amounts to basically teenagers, some of whom haven't reached the age of majority and are too young to buy a beer, financing their unionization and the ability for them to then boycott games on Saturdays that you bought tickets for. I look at this and go, where does this end?
Yeah. These wouldn't be just any employees, right? Providing food, their tuition, their medical care. Those players want for nothing. And that's in a school like UAB. But here's what really blows my mind. One of the comments Trent Dilfer made, Phil, was I want to make sure the players have a seat at the table and they're going to get part of this revenue.
Yeah.
So I thought, well, let's look at the UAB football revenue. So I pulled it up. This is from the Knight Report. And they do this every year on the financial side of college athletics. UAB's football revenue in 2023 was just over $14.1 million. $4.1 million of that is going to the coaches. So the coaches are already getting roughly 30% of the money.
Yeah.
The players get their share of this revenue. Based on what I'm looking at, it looks like football loses money every year. So what does a revenue share look like with a company that loses or an organization that's losing money?
Yeah. What it looks like is players jumping in the portal and going somewhere else. That's what it looks like.
Shouldn't we assume that the players are willing to take a share of that debt? If they want a cut of the revenue, you take it good and bad, right?
Well, here's the other piece. Right now, scholarships are generally non-taxable. So these kids saying, we want to be employees so we can unionize and get more stuff. Oh, did we lose him? We just lost him. All right, Scott, listen, call back in if you can. Rats, I heard his signal getting weak there a couple of times, so I guess he's in a spot where it's tough. See if you can get him back on there, buddy. It's just, I mean, he's so right. Where was the coach's thinking when you got an ongoing fight at the state level and the governor, who is technically by default a member of your board of trustees, the taxpayers pay your salary because you're a public school employee, and you look at it and go, what in God's name were you thinking, coach? Thinking this would be a great, I'm going to get these players in here. We're going to have them. We're going to show them what they can have a voice at the table. They can go ahead and be in there demanding some more revenue sharing opportunities in the future. Really great. Though, as Scott just pointed out, there's not a whole lot of revenue to share. Is he back on? Great. Hey,
I apologize, Phil. I was trying to tell another call I'd call him back, and I think I somehow bumped those off.
Oh, no worries. You're a busy man. So I made the point a minute ago, Scott, just before you came back on, that I look at it and think, how do the taxpayers of the state feel knowing they are now paying for someone who could then boycott the things that they're paying for?
Right. And this is all taxpayer funded. I probably shouldn't say that because we don't know that. We do know that athletic departments get a lot of private donations. So I don't know what the UAB situation is. I do know that at the time they ended football, the athletic department was getting a $20 million a year supplement of taxpayer money. Okay. Yeah. So we do know that. And we know that the entire athletic department revenue shows at about $40 million. So it looks like the university, at least at that point, was supplying more than 50% of the revenue required to run the athletic department. You know, I get the revenue sharing at the Alabamas and the Auburns, where they really are making millions of dollars in those programs. But is the court going to allow you to pay football and not play volley and not pay the volleyball players?
No.
Or not pay the golf players or equestrian in Auburn? I mean, if this is going to be a share and share alike, then the football players are not going to come out looking so well at the vast majority of universities in the country. But, Phil, how do we, as you were saying, how do we as taxpayers feel about spending millions of dollars on public institutions that are then used as a platform for individuals to further their athletic career?
Yeah.
and get paid at the same time? I don't know how that plays, but let's not forget, there is an NIL bill for high schoolers sitting in Montgomery as we speak. Now, you know the legislators, you serve. My gut feeling is they don't want to touch that with a 10-foot pole.
Nope.
But as an attorney, you can tell the audience what's going to happen. A federal judge is going to rule somewhere sometime, and it doesn't matter what Alabama has passed. It's going to be the law of the land.
It's going to be madness. And Tommy Tuberville, by the way, AP, I've got a story here in my hands. We got about less than a minute left, but the AP ran a story and they interviewed Coach Tuberville, Senator Tuberville, and he said flat out, if athletes unionize, it's going to absolutely kill college sports. And I believe it.
Well, we took the first step here in Alabama with the state school.
Proud to lead the way.
That's where we are. And you know, Phil, your job, my job, let's keep calling them out.
That's what we do, brother. It's what we do the best. All right, man. Scott Buttram, Trustful Tribune. I appreciate you, man, as always.
Thanks, Phil. Good to visit.
See ya. All right, listen, we're going to take a break right now. We'll come right back, and I'll get some of your text messages. There's several of y'all have an opinion on this, apparently. So, yeah, if you want to text it in or call it in, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. Right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative and just plain right. Just, I mean, like making common sense like a superpower. I got so many text messages. How do I catch all these? Let's see what I can do here. TC from Priceville, he says, very curious how this would affect non-scholarship walk-on players. I don't know. He said, my son's going into his third year as a preferred walk-on offensive lineman at Troy University. Good for him, man. He said he hadn't heard any talk about this at all in their program. Well, that's because I don't think it's making the rounds yet. But keep in mind, TC, this was because the coach called it in. The coach set this up. He literally said he's the one that called the organization to come meet with his kids. And he said, in his words, he poured gas on the fire. So I don't think the players at Troy have probably heard about this because their coach is not seeing this as the way forward. But glad to hear about your son. Gary from Decatur says, heck, let's unionize the military. Then we won't hear any more stories about military families on food stamps. Oh, awesome. That's great. I'm sorry, sir. I got to boycott. We're going on strike. We can't go to war tomorrow. Awesome. Brand new in the text line, Karen from Athens. Karen, glad you're here. Says, regarding the unionization of college football players, those that are pushing for it will get a payout too. They don't care about the players, just their own pockets. You are so right. It's a money-making opportunity for them. You watch. John from Huntsville texted in and said, Scott Buttram should take over for Grand Council tomorrow. He's been on Grand Council. He does a great job, man. Mike from Coxie, Alabama says, first we had liberal professors. Now we get liberal coaches. Higher education has some low standards. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Michael from Taft, Tennessee says, wonder how much the coach got for that kickback. TL from Gurley, Alabama. Says, O'Brien's making new with the text line too, isn't he? TL from Gurley says, UAB dropped their football program once before, didn't they? Perhaps UAH can get their Division I hockey program back if they dropped it again. I love UAH hockey. I did my first year at UAH before I transferred down to South Alabama, and it was great, man, watching hockey. I think, if I'm not mistaken, ice hockey was our homecoming game. Or like our, you didn't have a football team, so homecoming was ice hockey. It was very cool. Kevin from Hartsell, Alabama says, here we go, making more entitlement programs when you make athletes employees in college. Oh, boy. I can you imagine how many text messages I've got here? Let's see. I'm going to skip way down there. I see one. Rod from Tuscumbia says, Trent Dilfer took too many hits to the heads as quarterback of the Bucks. Believe me, I saw it Sunday after Sunday. Okay. Trainer from Elkmont says, the university should then have the players pay tuition, boarding, and food allowance. Here's my question. Are they going to wind up then also having things written into their contract that says upon graduation, if you get a big NFL contract, you have to support the Alumni Association? I just wonder, are they going to mandate things that these kids are going to contract away and it's going to be there for a long time? John N as in November, John N from Huntsville says, Phil, good articles today, especially regarding UAB football program. So what about the payment of union dues? Oh, great question. Is it, do they start paying when they're signing a scholarship whilst in high school? But more importantly, what about union membership and benefits for trainers and equipment managers or even cheerleaders? Weeping for the Republican Huntsville I am. Wow, John, those are great questions, man. I hadn't thought about that. These kids are going to be looking at it going, wait, I got to pay dues? Wait, what? I thought I just got money. That's what's going to happen. You watch. Rex from Huntsville, we should be seeing this disaster unfolding. Nick Saban didn't want to put up with it, and he ain't gonna. I know. And Saban has said he saw this as being extremely problematic, and I think he got out in part because of it. Brand new texter, Wyatt from Florence. Wyatt from Florence says, got an email a couple of weeks ago from Donald Trump, the ones wanting to donate. The question asked, who should be vice president on the ticket? And I proudly wrote, Phil Williams. Wyatt, I am honored by that, although I do not imagine that I'll get the call. But thank you very much, my brother. John from Pike Road down yonder towards Montgomery says, Phil, if college athletes do unionize, just wait till they go on strike and then see all the major uproar when people don't get to watch college football. I'm saying, bro. I happen to know where you used to work, man, and you saw these kind of things happen. Tracy from Athens, got a little off subject here, but yes, I did see that, Tracy. She's asking, did I see that Alabama A&M out of Huntsville is talking about buying the Birmingham Southern campus? Yeah, I did see that. It'd be interesting to see how that works out. Now, they're a state-funded organization, but they're a full-on college, and they can make a go of it. You know what? Good on them. Last two texts before we hit the break. JT Lacey Springs says, pay the players. 100% into escrow, no payout till graduation. Genius. JT from Lacey Springs for athletic director. There you go. And then Karen from Athens says, if they want to get paid, make it the same as their scholarship. I agree. And then, by the way, it's taxable. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back.